Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Pure Bible Study, Revelation chapter 10. I love Revelation chapter 10. I just got done recording the Watchman broadcast part 2, The Sacred Name, and boy, we made a mess of these guys. All right, they've all fallen. Revelation chapter 10, I'm not going to read the whole chapter here, although I could. It's 11 verses, but I think it's highly significant. If I'm right, if I'm seeing the right thing here, then we're looking at a very, very significant passage out of the Bible. If, of course, I'm wrong, yeah, boy, I'm wrong. It seems to be me. And I've been wrong, and I could be wrong. Now, what I'm going to tell you is I believe it, and I got more confirmation last night when I was going over the text here. I believe this is Jesus. I absolutely do. And I'm going to lay out my case for you of why I believe that this is Jesus, the mighty angel coming down from heaven. We're just going to look at the exact words, the exact description of this, and we're going to follow the scriptures and see where it leads us. Now, if you disagree with me, I'll honor your disagreement. I really will. Because, I mean, it doesn't say, I saw Jesus come down from heaven. It doesn't say that. And so I would honor your disagreement. I would honor it respectfully, and I'd ask that you, if you have a disagreement with it, that you submit it to me respectfully as well. And we'll like each other, because it's really ultimately not about me and you, it's about the Word of God. And so let's read it. I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. That's dominion. Okay. And he cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those sayings which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel, and said unto him, give me the little book. Now, if you're thinking of this, you're saying, you know, boy, that sounds a lot like something else in the Bible. Okay, so just hang in there. And I went unto the angel, and I said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it, and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand, and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had to eat it, my belly was bitter. Boy, the angel was right on that one, wasn't he? In verse 11, he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples, nations, and tongues. It means languages. Not just Hebrew. See, I still got that in my mind. And kings. All right, let's go back and let's start taking this apart. And I'm going to lay out a case, a very strong case, and I'm going to give you the best that I can possibly do, so that you see that this is Jesus. Now, I don't see that if you don't believe this, well, you're going to hell. I don't see that. Okay. I just think it is. And I think that it's an interesting concept that we have here stuck in the middle of the book of Revelation. Remember, the title of the book of Revelation is The Revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the title of this book, which means Christ now being revealed. In Revelation 10, when the mighty angel puts his foot on the sea and on the land, he says that the mystery of God now should be finished. When we get to that part, you're going to kind of understand where I'm going with this. right now to the Jews, it's still a mystery. They don't understand what it's all about. They don't understand who Jesus is, who the Messiah is. They don't get it. As of this point, the mighty angel is going to declare that the mystery is now finished. It's over. So just kind of keep that in mind. All right. So we start out with, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. And I'm just going to break this apart piece by piece. And I'll just probably just deal with the angel part of it today. And some would look at it and say, got you right there. It's an angel. It's not Jesus, not angel. What are you, J-Dub? You a Jehovah's Witness? What are you, an infidel? No, let's look at it. All right. Because I'm going to show you clearly from the scriptures that Jesus is identified as the angel. Let me just kind of tell you, I've got this later on my notes, but let me just kind of tell you this, okay? We have prophets all through the Bible, all right? We have Elijah, and we have Enoch, and we have David, and we have Isaiah, and so on. Those were prophets. Jesus is that prophet, the prophet, capital P, prophet. So what we see is that there are offices and titles given in the Bible of men. These are all just, Jesus is not degraded down to one of them. They are a foreshadowing of him. God, who has sundry times and in diverse manners spoken to us by his servants the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. And so Jesus bore the office of the chief prophet, high priest. We know that Aaron was a high priest. We know that his son, Eleazar, was a high priest. We know that there was a continuation of the high priest office all throughout the Old Testament into the time of Christ and into the time of the early church. Jesus is not one of them because he's not a Levite. He's from a different order. He's from the order of Melchizedek, an angelic order of angels. So Jesus is high priest and who were high priests. He was a prophet. There were earthly judges. And if you look in the book of Judges, you'll see Deborah was one, Barak was one of them, not Obama. Ehud, Gideon, Samson, all of these men were judges over Israel. But Jesus is the righteous judge. And he has a judgment seat. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And so while Jesus is not on their level and just part of the crowd, he is the chief of all judges. Solomon, when he wrote Ecclesiastes, the words of the preacher, capital P. Well, I'm a preacher. Jesus is the preacher. I mean, he's like the preacher of all preachers. There are earthly kings. Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. There are earthly princes. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. There were bishops. I'm a bishop over a church. Jesus is the bishop or the chief bishop of our souls. There were apostles. Jesus Christ is the chief apostle. So you understand that even though there are secondary realms, such as kings, priests, prophets, judges, preachers, bishops, apostles, Christ is the chief of all of them. So then, there are the secondary realm of angels, the messengers, the servants of God, and that's what angel means. Angelos means messenger. Paul used that term messenger when he referred to a devil, a messenger of Satan above me. He was literally saying it was an angel, a devil. Jesus is not of the created realm of angels, but he is the angel or the messenger of God. Jesus came to give us, to deliver to us the words of God. And so we know that the Old Testament was administered by angels. Now the New Testament is administered by Jesus Christ. So I hope you understand that just because the term angel is used, that doesn't degrade Christ. And it doesn't mean that I'm degrading Christ by saying that he is a mighty angel. But it actually shows you that Christ is the head of all things. If they're angels, he's the head angel. If they're bishops, he's the head bishop. If they're apostles, he's the chief apostle. If they're prophets, he is that prophet. So that's where I'm going with this. So let's look at, there were four times in the King James Bible where an angel was identified in the Old Testament with a capital A. What does that mean? It means the King James translators knew who this was referring to, so they capitalized the A to denote. This wasn't Michael Jackson. It wasn't Michael the archangel. It was Jesus himself. Genesis 48, verse 16. The angel which redeemed me from all evil. This is Jacob speaking. The angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. And let my name be named on them and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Who is he talking about? The angel, capital A, who redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Where did he get that blessing from? When Jacob blessed Manasseh and Ephraim, crossing his arms, where did his blessing come from? It came from the angel, capital A. When did Jacob get this blessing from an angel? Genesis 32, verse 24. Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, the angel, the man, touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, this is the man, the angel, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. That's where he got his blessing from. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men hast prevailed. Now this story right here, I absolutely believe, okay, that Jesus was handicapping himself as he's wrestling Jacob. Okay? Because you and I both know that when you wrestle God, you're going to lose. All right? But and this is a beautiful spiritual illustration that God's showing us by Jacob wrestling with the Lord. It is the teaching of the power of prevailing prayer. The power of prevailing prayer. I can tell you that this ministry, me sitting at this desk, is a result of me spending 3 days at 1 week and another day a couple weeks later in my office fasting and praying and saying, God, nothing's going right. There's nothing working in the ministry. The church is kind of blah. Our daycare and school are killing us. I'm burnt out. I want to go do something else for a change. I don't know what to do. And I'm going to sit in here and I'm going to pray and I'm going to beg you and I'm not going to eat until you do something. I was wrestling with God. And God calls me Israel. Why? Because as a prince, thou hast power with God and with men and hast prevailed. Thou hast power with God. Who was he wrestling? A man who he later identified as the angel which redeemed me, bless the lads. Let my name be named on them. What was the name? What was the name then of the children? The children of Israel. And so here, this angel is none other than God, Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate. This is before he came in the flesh. All right? Then, watch this, okay? After he wrestles with God, in Genesis 32, verse 30, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, the word El. What is that? For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Who did he see? We know that he didn't see the Father, because you don't see the Father and live. Moses wasn't even allowed to see the Father. He saw his back parts. Who did he see? God. He saw Christ, pre-incarnate, God, a man, an angel. That's what the Scripture says. Then the other place, Exodus 23:20. Moses said, behold, I send an angel, capital A, before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Obey his voice, this angel. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. Wow. Think about this. for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel, capital A again, shall go before thee and bring thee into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. So look at here. Look at what God is saying here. God's going to send an angel. Now, I think this is pivotal. I want you to think about this. Because one of the descriptions of the mighty angel is that his feet were as pillars of fire. Where do we see that? We see that in the Old Testament, where God is leading Israel through the wilderness with a one pillar of fire. And he says here, I send an angel before thee. It's Jesus. I'm telling you, it's Jesus. This angel right here in Exodus, this is Jesus. He goes before Israel and leads them with a pillar of fire. When we get to this part here, a few weeks from now, we're going to see why there was two pillars of fire. I love it. Exodus 32:34. Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place of which... Oh, by the way, let me go back to this in verse 20 through 23. This angel just happens to have the power to forgive their sins. Jesus showed up. What did he do? Thy sins be forgiven thee. Go and sin no more. And the Jews hated him. You know what Jesus was doing? Jesus was identifying himself right in front of Moses' people by forgiving sins. And they didn't recognize him. They didn't get it. You know, it just boggles me. Of course, I've been talking about this the last 2 weeks. Why the Hebrew roots people are so adamant that we have to go get our true and correct understanding about God and Jesus from the Jews. When the Jews messed it all up. They didn't understand anything. And Jesus acted the whole thing out right in front of them. And they didn't get it. Exodus 32:34. Therefore now go lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. This is spoken to Moses because God has already told Moses, you're not going to the promised land. You're going to lead them up to it. But when it comes time, you're not going to do it. You know what God was signifying there? That the law cannot lead you into the promised land. Think about that. That's what Moses is. So he sends mine angel, capital A, to finish the job. And so right now, Israel has been led up to the River Jordan. But they can't go in unless the angel comes down and leads them in. So just think about that. This is why I believe this is him. And some might say, Hebrews chapter 1, I quoted part of that a while ago, verse 4, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Okay? And they said, see, he's not an angel because God didn't say that to the angels. You're right, he didn't say that to any of the other angels. But he said it to Jesus. And there's one angel in particular, upon hearing God say this to Jesus, he's going, I'll kill him if it's the last thing I do. You know who that was, don't you? So I still believe it was an angel, but he just didn't say this to the other angels. God has magnified him above them, but he still holds the office of the messenger of God. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. That's the thing. So Jesus didn't worship all the other angels, including, oh, think about it, Lucifer. What did the devil try to get Jesus to do? Worship him. Mm-mm. Jesus said, devil, you're going to worship me. That's how it's going to be. I love it. And the angels, and of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, and a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. So in other words, God set Jesus apart. He is already set apart because he's God. But he holds the office of angel, and yet he is not reckoned as the other angels. This is what this is saying. And I don't think I'm twisting scripture in any way at all. I'm just comparing scriptures, knowing that there were many places in the Bible where Jesus was referred to as an angel, and these places absolutely here. But here now we have the reconciliation of it, where God is now saying, I didn't say this to Michael, I didn't say this to Gabriel, I didn't say it to Lucifer, but I said it to my son Jesus Christ. Okay, he made the angel spirits, and yet Jesus was more than that. How? He also became flesh. None of the other angels did that. Let's see here. Here's a good one. Okay, follow with me on this one. Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. And again, all of... Uh-oh. Sorry about that. Off my little snowman. Anyway, and you seem to watch my video. I won't let anybody get her. Okay? The angel of the Exodus 3:2, and I'm laying out a case for you that Jesus is the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. I want you to notice the language here in Exodus 3, verse 2. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. So I want you to get the imagery here. We have a bush that's burning and it's on fire, and the angel of the Lord appeared in the flame out of the midst of the bush. Where is the angel of the Lord? In the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah, saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, here am I. God was in the midst of the bush in the form of the Lord, the angel of the Lord. It's very simple. Judges 13, and I'm going to leave you with this. I'm tired. I've been recording all day, all right? Do a little short lesson and watch the Watchman video broadcast this week. Judges 13:17. This is the birth announcement of Samson. He's a type of Christ. Who announced his birth? The angel of the Lord. He appeared to Samson's mom, the wife of Manoah. And so Manoah now gets involved. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? The angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is a secret? Remember, the mystery of God is still on the Hebrews, the Israelites. The secret is still there. They don't understand the secret. And so God called this name from the Jews at this time. It wasn't until Matthew chapter 1 that you see the name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. But for now, his name is a secret. Why is it a secret? God's withholding it from them. Verse 19, so Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven. Look at this. When the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. You can just, I bet they're just going like that. They're just going, you know, he's holding her, she's holding him, and they're just going, you know, absolutely amazing. Manoah and his wife looked on it, and they fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. I love it. And I'm going to stop right there. In fact, go study the angel of the Lord. Go study Let's see, here's another one here you can look at. And you can disagree with me, and then you can be ticked off at me and mad at me. And I'm telling you, get in line behind all these guys, all right? But in Joshua chapter, let's see here, Joshua chapter 5, Joshua was by Jericho, that he looked, lifted up his eyes, and looked, behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord. He's the captain, the chief one. Am I now come? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And now remember, in the book of Revelation, when an angel appeared to John and John fell down on his face and worshiped before the angel said, get up. Get up. You're going to get us both in trouble. Well, sorry, God. I'm just, you know, the angel would not receive John's worship. Here, Joshua fell right before this angel, the captain of the host, and worshiped him. And at no time did the angel say, get up. You're not supposed to do that. Verse 15, the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And Joshua did so. Joshua saw the same angel of the Lord, God, that Moses saw in the burning bush. And take his shoes off, because that's holy ground. I believe. Now, I'm not done. Not done. And I have many. The thing about the clothed with a cloud, we're going to have fun with that. The rainbow over his head, that's the glory of the Lord. Did you know God said, I will not share my glory with another? This, in my mind, this cannot be any of the ordinary realms of angels, including Lucifer. Because he wants that glory. He wants the throne. But he can't have it. So now Jesus has on him the glory which he had with his Father, which they had before the world was. That's why. So anyway, we'll get into it. But I wanted to establish the fact that Jesus is the, capital A, angel above all the other angels. And the Bible declares him so. All right. I'm hungry and I'm tired. I'm going to go eat something. God bless you. Hope you've enjoyed. Study this book. Be prepared, people. These guys, they're going to get back up. Okay? They're not done. They're going to keep attacking God's flock. They can't get around this Bible. So you attach yourself to this Bible like you've never done before. All right? God bless you. I love you. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.